everybody. It is Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries in Clearwater, Florida. And we are so glad you are joining us today on Mother's Day 2013. And I have a mother beside me, Alice.
2012.
It's May 13th.
There you go.
That's right. You're going, thanks for correcting me. We're a year ahead. Wow. Okay. Alice, one of our radio contributors, is right here with me. I'm Pastor Marcia McAllister, and I guess I'm a year ahead of myself. I don't know.
Better to be a year ahead than a year behind.
Okay. I guess it's May 13th of 2012.
There you go.
Is that the right date?
That's right.
Okay. Alice is just staring at me like, wow, really? I just lost a year. So anyway, it's a joy to be on the live live radio show we have going today. It is always fun. Don't you enjoy it, Alice?
I do very much. It's always nice to just get together and chat.
It is. Yeah. That's what we're doing. And talking about the Word, talking about God, what He's doing in our lives. And He's doing so many amazing things. We just give Him glory and praise. Seeing so many answers to prayer, are we not?
We are. It's really amazing watching what God is doing, because I can't describe it. You know, you have prayer requests that get sent out, and people come back and come into church and go, hey, guess what happened?
Today, one of our people got a whole house full of furniture given to her yesterday.
Yeah.
I mean, entire nice stuff. Amazing.
Amazing.
I mean, and she was expressing a need because she needed stuff for her three children and her, and it was just amazing what God's done.
Yeah. It's wonderful.
And so the blessings sometimes are, we expect them from God. We expect Him to answer our prayers. But when it happens, we kind of act like a little shocked, don't we?
Well, we're shocked, I think, a lot of times, because we always think that things are going to happen a certain way.
Oh, that's it. Right there,
and
girl.
And God's got His own way of doing things.
Doesn't
and he just loves to amaze us on a daily basis.
He is amazing.
Yeah.
Yes. But you're right. And when we think we have it figured out, that right then, it's going to not go that way.
Oh, exactly. Yeah, I know.
Right? It's going to go a different way.
Yeah, it's going to go God's way. And you know, we think sometimes that we may know God's mind, but we don't. God's got His own way of doing things.
And, you know, He cares about us so much.
Yeah.
You know, this is this series we're in right now. We're going to continue today. The title of it is Where Your Heart Is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because God is looking for people whose hearts are completely His.
Oh, yeah.
2 Chronicles 16:9, it says, the eyes of the Lord roam around the earth, looking for those. I got to get my mouth going here correctly now. Looking for those whose hearts are completely His. That's what He's looking for, you know? And when He finds those that are saying, God, I want everything You want for me. I want to be all You want me to be. It's life-changing for us, because God just, He jumps on board with that,
doesn't
He? Oh,
He does. He does. And, you know, it's so funny, because we tend to look at people, and, you know, whether we say we judge people or not, we all look at people and make a decision about them.
Sure, right.
And it's so amazing that we don't see the person's heart.
Right.
We don't see their heart, their intentions, where they're, you know, what their goals are, whatever. They can say all they want, but we don't know their heart, but God does.
Oh, God does.
And God has an amazing way of just picking people that we would say, really? Them? And God's like, yeah. And it turns out, you know, that God's right. God knows their heart and knows the work that they can do for Him.
Absolutely. We're really going to go on with that theme today, Alice, talking about our heart and what God expects, and why it's so important that our heart is really the reflection of who we are and what we feel. You know,
right.
It's going to be fun to talk about this. Carol will join us in about 30 minutes or 4:30 or so, and she's always a wealth of wisdom and inspiration. And
she is.
Yes. Other than that, it's just you and I here in the studio today Mother's Day. That's all right. Usually we have a few others join us, but today, kind of just us. But anyway, you're a mother. I'm a mother.
I am a mother, yes.
Yes, and so a shout out to Sarah, your daughter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We actually haven't talked yet today because, you know, we've both been so busy with, you know, church and everything else, but she did, she left me a voicemail.
Good.
And sent me a Facebook message, you know.
Oh, cool. Great.
Sometimes, you know, with her being in Houston and me here, that's sometimes the only ways we can
only
communicate.
And a shout out to your beautiful little grandchildren.
Yes. I have two grandchildren, Samantha and Draco.
Yes.
Joys of my heart.
Yes. They're so sweet. They were all here a few weeks ago with us, and that was so great to get to meet them after I've known you all these years. Get to
finally
to put a face, you know. And my three children, two sons, Ryan and Mark, and then my daughter Lori, And Ryan and Elizabeth have three kids, Rylan, Chase, and Justin, and they're just growing up like crazy. Your kid, your grandkids oh, are yeah. little, minor. 16, my granddaughter Rylan just got her driver's license.
Oh, my goodness.
You know, about a week and a half ago, so it's crazy. 16, 15, 13, and then Lori's son Levi is 12. So it's amazing. Then my son Mark has not given me any grandchildren yet, but we're working on that.
Okay.
I'm continuing to pressure him. So anyway, it's a joy here on Mother's Day, and it's exciting to be a mother, isn't it? Aren't you glad?
It is. You know, it's always so amazing seeing your kids grow up. And, you know, I was just the other day looking at some baby pictures of Sarah, and I'm sure, you know, they're ones that would probably embarrass her.
Yeah.
But, you know, you look at those baby pictures and you say, wow, you know, back then, did I know that this little baby was going to become this person
exactly.
that I know today?
Exactly.
You know.
I know.
You have so many hopes and dreams for your kids, especially when they're real little, you know.
Right.
You have so many hopes and dreams for them, and it's really nice to see some of those manifest.
Absolutely. We're going to talk more about that after this first song. I asked Connie to put a couple special songs on today because I think you, one of the ones that you like is on here, one of your favorites, On Down, About the Middle, Through It All.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
One of your favorite songs. And this first one is an old song, but it's redone by the group Sela, and it is His Eye is on the Sparrow.
Good
Carol
song.
Loves this song.
Good song.
Discouraged, why do the shadows come, and why does my heart feel lonely in love for heaven and toil?
Praise God, I love that.
That is an awesome song.
Isn't that an awesome song? His eye is on the sparrow. God says that he takes care of us.
Yeah.
You know, why do we worry? Like that song says, that comes from Matthew chapter 6. Why do we worry about what we're going to wear, what we're going to put on, where we're going to go, what's going to happen? But we do, Alice. We tend
do.
To.
Oh,
you
wow,
know, being
yeah.
so concerned about our daily provision. You know,
right.
we're all that way.
We are. We are. And I think a lot of that is because, you know, a lot of us are raised, you know, to be planners. Plan ahead,
yes,
plan for
yes.
this, plan for that. And
would that be you, Miss Accountant?
Hmm. Maybe.
Maybe.
But, you know, I found
we
that.
All are. We all are.
Yeah, I found that no matter how I plan, God's plan is going to work out.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
And it may not be in according to my plan, but that's
right.
okay because his plan's better.
Oh, his plan is perfect because he sees all the pictures of
right.
that puzzle.
He sees the whole thing. We
yeah.
can only look at what we know.
Right.
And there's so much more we don't know
oh,
that God
absolutely.
already knows, you know, is going to happen down the line or whatever. And so, yeah, it's pretty cool.
What you were talking about a moment ago before we went to that song is as mothers, we really have high hopes for our children.
Oh,
we
yeah.
all do, don't we?
Oh, we do.
Or if you're a dear person out there that's never had children, but you have nieces and nephews and relatives and friends that are like children to you, you have those expectations for them, don't
right,
you?
Right. You have expectations and I don't know expectations, but hopes and dreams.
Hopes
for
and
them.
Dreams. I think that's a better
dreams.
Word. Yeah.
yeah. Because, you know, we all want our kids to grow up healthy.
Yes.
And happy.
Right.
And, to, you know, grow up to be an upstanding citizen and
sure.
do well in school and, you know, all those
right.
kinds of things. But you know, it's really amazing because you may have a child that's not so good in school, maybe.
Right.
Even though they're trying, you
right.
know, they may not be so good or, and that's okay because maybe what God wants from them doesn't have to do so much with the academic learning.
Right.
You know,
right.
they can still touch the world and still be part of his big plan.
Absolutely.
With that, you know, even if they're not good in school.
Right.
You know,
exactly. And so we have to learn as we grow up, you know, in the Lord and in our relationship with God, we have to learn to trust him.
Oh yeah.
We have to learn to say, here's my child, you know, or here are those that have been entrusted to me as a pastor. That's how I feel,
mm-hmm.
you know, as a shepherd, and having done this many years. I mean, you are my sheep,
mm-hmm.
you know,
right.
and some of those that listen to this radio broadcast, you know, regularly, we're a part of the church that I pastored in Indiana. And so there is that feeling of shepherding, you know,
right.
people and wanting them to, all of us, to get the principles that God has for us, you know,
mm-hmm.
and wanting them to just settle down in the promises of God. You
right.
know, that's what I'm all about. It's all
yeah.
about the word, you know.
Yeah. You know, I know when Sarah was a baby, I had her dedicated
yes,
to God.
Yes, I did that with my kids, yes.
And some people were like, what? You know, was she christened? Was this? I said, no, it was a dedication. Well, what does that mean?
Right.
And I was like, well, that kind of means that, you know, I'm putting her in your hands, God.
Exactly.
I'm putting her in your hands, and I'm trusting you to take care of her.
Right.
And to be there when I can't. Or while I'm still, you know, while even if I'm there, you
right.
know, to be my, you know, just to guide her and
oh.
to make her the person that he wants her to be, not
absolutely.
Necessarily the person I want her to be.
Yes. And so we see where your heart was at that point.
Mm-hmm.
I did the same thing. My husband and I did that with our three kids, you know.
Right.
And as each time that they were maybe 2 or 3 months old, you know, each one of them, you know, going through that dedication ceremony.
Mm-hmm.
And I write about this in my book I wrote about Lori, mm-hmm. because my daughter, my second child, my dad dedicated her, you know,
right.
as a pastor of a church, and we were there visiting in Stuart, Florida, where he was pastoring, mm-hmm. and we intentionally had the dedication there so Dad could do that. And, you know, I remember that day still very clearly and saying, Lord, here's this little girl, you know,
right.
and want her to be used for your kingdom and your glory. And all the things that my daughter has suffered and gone through with drug addiction and so forth,
right.
and the prison and now out and doing so well and really ministering to people,
oh,
you know,
yeah.
and has been for the last couple of years. It's just like, wow, God,
right.
you
and
know.
You know, what's amazing about that is that she started that ministry while in prison.
While in prison.
Yeah. So
she
that's
did.
That's really awesome.
It
so
is.
God has, you know, God has used her maybe not the way your hopes and dreams, I mean, I'm sure you didn't hope
time,
and dream for her to
no,
be in prison.
No.
But, you know, God has used those circumstances
right. And it was the best for her.
Yeah,
it was she needed
thing.
To do that.
Right.
We're going to Psalm 91 here because we're talking today about where your heart is. And I love Psalm 91. It was written by actually Moses, even though we've been studying David. This was written by Moses, I really believe, because it was written so much so further back in history before David, that this was probably a psalm that David hung out with, don't
right.
you think?
I would think so, yeah.
Yeah, because, I mean, it was a famous psalm that that Moses had written, Psalm 90 and 91.
Mm-hmm.
And in 91, it starts out with, "He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty."
Right.
And I love that. Do you have the message there?
I have the message here, yes.
Yeah, read it in the message, that first verse.
"You who sit down in the high God's presence, spend the night in Shaddai's shadow."
Woo, sit down
yeah.
in God's presence. And that is really what that word means. He who dwells in the mm-hmm. shelter, it means to sit down, stake your claim,
right.
hang
I've,
out.
I've heard abide.
Abide.
Yeah.
Abide is a great word.
Because
I mean,
it's you're living in that. You're,
yes.
It's not just, you're not just visiting. You,
right.
You've made your, like you said, staked your claim and made
yes.
your home, and this is where I sit.
This is
my place.
Yeah, and for most families, when not all families, but when a child is born, that child stays hanging out with that mother,
right.
let's say,
right.
you know, through many years.
Oh, yeah.
You know, there is that abiding with that person, you
mm-hmm.
know? And here, Moses calls God El Shaddai, which I love that name of God, because it means the mother nature of God.
Right.
It means the El Shaddai is the more than enough, God who is more than enough. It actually means the many-breasted one,
mm-hmm.
you know, the mother nature, the under the wings.
The nurturing.
The nurturing.
And the
yes.
protecting,
oh.
sheltering.
Yes.
Comforting.
Yes.
All that stuff, yeah.
Which is ideal that a mother be that way. But, you know, and I can say this from a lot of people that I know, a lot of people didn't grow up with a mother like that.
No.
You know, and sometimes that happens, that the mother that happens to be our physical or our biological or maybe even our adopted parent does not exhibit the characteristics that we
right.
would have preferred that person have.
Right.
You know?
But the awesome thing is that God is our perfect parent.
Yes. Yes.
He is our perfect parent. He is both father and mother.
Yes.
And he has the attributes of both. you know, wow.
He does. Well, and you just said it right there, because in verse 1 of Psalm 91, mm-hmm. When Moses writes this, he says, "He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High."
Mm-hmm.
That one in the original Hebrew is El Elyon, which is really the father nature of God.
Right.
It is the mighty warrior.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it is the mighty God, you know.
Right.
And then he goes on to say, "And rests in the shadow of the Almighty," which mm-hmm. is El Shaddai. So it's that mother-father nature
right.
of God that's working there together. God is not just the male dominant, you know, that type of nature. That's
right.
not God.
He's also the loving,
yes.
comforting. You know, I there are many times when I'm going through a hard time, I can just picture God just wrapping his arms around me and saying, you know, it's okay. It's okay. I'm here. That sort of thing.
Oh,
and,
yes.
My dad would never have done that,
right.
you know.
Mm-hmm.
My mom may have done that on occasion, you know. But that's to me, that's more of a mothering.
It
thing,
is more of a mothering gesture,
you know, to reach out and hug a child and
yes.
say it's okay. You know?
Yes, absolutely. Pull them down on your lap and
yeah.
grab them and hug them, and like you do with your grandkids.
Yes,
you
saw
know.
That.
Yes, I did with you and Samantha and Draco.
Yeah.
Yes, you do, and I do with mine, even though they're getting big, you know. But I love that, just pulling them into me,
right.
you know, and holding them tight and saying I love you, even though when they're 15 and 16, they really don't like to sit on Nana's lap. But I make them anyway. Anyway, but it's so cool here because Moses understood this. Moses was also a shepherd. Isn't
right.
that cool?
That is cool.
I didn't bring that up this morning. I didn't even think about it till right now. But Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd." That's
mm-hmm.
one of his I am names,
right.
you know, in the book of John that we just finished studying. In John 10, he said, "I am the good shepherd." He doesn't call himself, "I'm the taskmaster shepherd, or I am the disciplinarian shepherd.
He's the good shepherd. He's the one that he's the one that keeps all the sheep safe. He's the one that goes out and seeks after the lost sheep.
After the lost sheep.
Yeah, yes. And brings them back into the fold.
Oh, that parable, you know, the 99 safe and go out after one.
Right.
Right. And that's who we're talking about here. That's the nature of God on Mother's Day that we want to emphasize. And we want to point out that when you allow yourself to really learn the very nature of God, then it will change your heart. Your heart is. Your heart changes because people naturally respond to love.
Yes, they do. Whether they want to or not. Sometimes people are very resistant to it because because they've been hurt. They've been hurt so many times in the past that when somebody comes to them with a true loving nature, they're like, okay, what's the catch? What's going to happen next here?
Right.
God really, really reaches out to love people.
Doesn't he?
Yeah.
Oh, and he does. And he loves us so mightily. And so we do a song, and you're part of the praise team at church. His love is extravagant, right?
Yeah.
And that comes from a verse in Psalms. We're talking about his extravagant love. It's just, it's like, wow. You know, he can't give us enough.
It's over the top.
Yeah. You know, and oh, this is good. So anyway, in verse 2 of Psalm 91, Moses wrote, I will say to the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Wow, my refuge and my fortress. Yeah, What's that mean to you? I don't know what it says in the message there.
The message says, say this, God, you are my refuge. I trust in you and I am safe.
And I am safe.
And, you know, there's. I know when I'm going through hard times and I talk to God about those, you know, whatever it is I'm going through.
Right.
I can feel that it's safe, that it's okay to talk to him, that it's okay to share my heart and tell him how I really feel, even if it doesn't sound too good at the time. You know, and to me, that's a safe place.
Absolutely.
You know, people go through counseling.
Right.
And they're not going to talk to a counselor unless they feel that, number one, their confidence is kept and that it's safe, that the person's not going to judge them or think badly about them for whatever it is they're going through.
Yes.
And that's how it is with God.
Amen.
He's not there to judge you or to condemn you. He's there to love you. He's there to love you and to help you through whatever difficulty you're going through.
Absolutely.
And to me, that's what that means. You know, he's my refuge. He's my fortress, which means that when I'm weak, I can go to him and he can surround me with his strength and I can rely on his strength rather than my own.
Oh, remember that song we do, let the weak say I am strong, let the poor say I am rich. Yeah. You know, that's also from the scripture.
That is. And it's not our own doing that makes us strong or rich or whatever. It's God.
It's God.
It's because we're in that place where we can't do it.
Right.
And we realize that and we go to God and say, God, here, do this for me because I can't do it. And he does. And he gives us that strength and he gives us joy. Sometimes that's all we need is some joy.
Right.
He gives us the joy. He gives us strength. He gives us peace. You know, he gives us the ability to love those that may have hurt us in the past.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, you remember when you had Sarah and I remember when I had my three and when we brought them home from the hospital, they were not capable of using the remote on the TV.
Oh, no.
They were not capable of fixing us a meal.
No.
Or doing anything, right?
Right.
They were just really very, very small.
Small, vulnerable.
couldn't do for themselves. Mm-mm. Couldn't get earn a living, you know. And they were just, their job was to be cute.
Right.
You know,
and to eat and sleep and grow and
all that stuff and be the center of attention. That was their job. You know, they were vulnerable. They were small. They needed caretakers.
Right.
You know, they needed a mother. They needed a father or a grandmother, whoever it was, to take care of that child. Mm-hmm. You know, and we are that way with God. We really are that. So often we're that vulnerable, pliable little thing that needs El Elyon, you know, our mighty God. We need El Shaddai, the mother nature of God, to come and just overshadow us and protect us and take care of us and to soothe our emotions.
I like the description that you gave in church today about a mother hen.
Oh, yeah.
Because I could just picture, you know, the mother hen, you know, sitting on her brood of chicks and just kind of covering them and protecting them.
Right.
And that's what God does for us.
Oh, yes.
You know, if we will go to him and say, you know, we don't even have to say anything. Just get in his presence.
Absolutely.
And you can just feel him envelop you.
Well, and that's really what Moses is saying right here. Mm-hmm. He says those who stake their claim or dwell or, you know, hang out in, sit down. The Message Bible says sit down.
Right.
I like that because you're sitting down. You're not up trying to do something else.
Right. You're
just
being still.
You're being still. You're sitting down, you know. You're sitting down, but you're sitting down in the presence of Almighty God,
right.
You know. And when we do that, we stake our claim in Him, it changes our heart.
Oh, it does. Yeah. It does because you learn to trust Him.
Ah.
And I think that for us to get a closer relationship with God,
yes,
we need that trust. We need
Absolutely.
To be able to trust Him. And when we can feel that protection and that love,
yes,
you tend to be, it's easier to give your trust.
Right. Absolutely. And then when He just moves in and helps us in whatever situation we're in, you know.
In those amazing ways that we have planned one way and He does it completely differently. And you're like, wow.
You know, it's like you have children, and if you've had more than one or you have two grandchildren, they're different. They're so different.
Oh, yeah. They're so different. Personalities.
Right?
Wow.
Totally. Personalities different. You know, I've always said many years, how can three such different people come from the same two parents, meaning my children? You know, because they are all very different in a lot of ways. But yet, they all kind of have the same sense of humor, which is interesting, which is kind of crazy. But
I wonder where they get that from.
I don't
from.
Know where they got that. But they really like to have a good time, and they're funny and all that kind of stuff. But, you know, they are so different in so many ways, which just shows how God loves us each individually, doesn't He?
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Yeah, He does.
We're not all carbon copies of each other or cookie cutter copies.
Life would be kind of boring if it was that way, you know? God, I really think, has done an interesting thing having us all different because we can learn from each other.
Absolutely. That's,
if nothing else, we can learn from the mistakes we make or the mistakes other people make or the good things, good choices that people make. You
sure.
Know?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And through all of our differences, sometimes people's attitudes of intolerance or, you know, bitterness or whatever, resentment are shown, you know, and then God says, let me do a work on that.
Right.
Sit down here with me in my presence and, you know, nestle under my wings, you know, and hang out here and let me talk to you about this.
Well, you know, you say that. This is amazing because my mom and I didn't have a great relationship and I went through a lot of stuff with her. And I often wondered, you know, why am I going through this stuff with my mom? Right. And then as I got older, I found that I could, you know, I would have friends that were going through difficult situations with their mom.
Right.
And I was able to talk to them and counsel them and say, okay, you know, well, and I would find insight on my own mom.
Ooh.
By help trying to, you know, counsel my friends. And I'm like, oh, you know, I told them this, and I'd sit back and think, like, you know, that applies to my relationship with my mom, too. So
yes. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Isn't that cool? Yeah. I mean, the way it is. And sometimes, yes, we have less than ideal parents for one reason or another. But through all of that, we learn.
Right.
We learn, and maybe it makes us a better parent.
All right. Right.
Don't you think?
I think it does. I think, you know, we get, some of us have children very young.
Right.
We're children ourselves. You
right.
know? And we think we know it all and we don't, but we learn as we go.
Right.
Unfortunately for the children, we learn as we go.
Sure.
But at the same time, we can also pick up the experiences of others that have been in our lives and people that we run across. And we say, oh, well, you know, I saw so-and-so do this and I don't think I would have handled the situation the same way, you know, when I have kids or whatever.
So we learn from that.
We learn from it. Yeah.
Ooh, Carol, are you on?
I am on. Yes, I am.
How's Georgia? I hear it's raining up there.
Well, thank God for the rain. We really have needed it. It is still raining, but it's a slow, easy, misting rain. It's not a lot of runoff, at least in the area where I am, which is Metro Atlanta, Walnut Grove, Georgia.
Yeah, that's great. Great. Well, you've been listening to our conversation here. We're talking about the mother nature of God in Psalm 91 and how God develops our hearts and we learn to really treasure His presence in our lives. And we've just been talking, you know, about the differences in parents and mothers sometimes and how sometimes we have situations that are a little hurtful but God is always there. He's the mother nature of God is so mighty and so cool, you know?
I think when you have a dysfunctional parent, be it a mother, since today's Mother's Day, let's just talk about mothers in that realm. When you have a dysfunctional mother, for whatever the reason, then I think you tend to look for the mothering to come from other people and to kind of weigh your situation against what other people are saying and doing and the things mm-hmm. that you see.
Yeah.
I think it also develops within you as an individual the desire to know the mothering nature of God, because you don't get it physically from your mother.
Right.
You find it, and I found it, in digging around and reading Scripture and understanding the mothering nature of God.
Right.
And understanding it in the animals that he has created. You know, you were speaking of the mother hen.
Right. Yeah.
Thou who does not own a farm is speaking of the mothering hen. Are
yes.
you?
Yes.
You're the grandmother to hens?
I am. Chase, my grandson, has 15 and then one big rooster who's very busy. And
well, so you've had mothering experience with hens.
Yes, I do.
I just want to clarify that.
Yes, I have had. Yes.
I'm impressed.
I know them by name. I know them all by name, too, by the way.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Then you are really connected to the mothering nature of hens.
Yes. I'm Nana to some chickens.
Nana to chickens. That's a very wonderful thing. You know, you can learn so much
right.
from a community of chickens. You can
right.
learn so much from the mothering of animals in nature,
yes.
the way they
yes.
care for their... It gives you a strong sense, to me anyway, of what God is really trying to show us. He shows us himself in every single thing.
Yes, he does. Yes.
And if we're wise, we learn to look at it and accept it and just be thrilled in what we see in his mothering nature.
Yep.
You know, a mother hen could care less if you put a duck under her or a baby guinea. I put a baby goose under one of my hens one time. And
what, were you just playing a joke or something? Or?
No, the mother goose didn't particularly want this little chick that had hatched, so
uh-huh.
gosling.
Yeah.
And it needed to stay warm, and underneath a mother hen's wing, the temperature is from 101 to 102 degrees.
Really?
And yes. And this little guy needed to stay warm because he was nothing but green fuzz.
Okay.
So I put him under one of my hens that had a brood of biddies.
Uh-huh.
And that worked out fine because he was, you know, probably not as tall as the palm of your hand at that time. But when he began to grow, she was like getting jacked up in the air because he was the biggest kid under there.
Because he was a goose, huh?
He was a goose, but nobody told him.
Nobody told him he was a goose? He just thought he was a chicken?
No, we didn't tell him, and she didn't tell him. She accepted him, and, and there would be mud puddles that I would have, and he would go straight to the mud puddles.
Yeah.
And she would run and fuss and try to keep the other babies, the little chicks, pushed back.
Yeah.
But she stood and watched him swim.
Yeah.
Isn't that what God does?
Yeah.
When we get into something over our head.
Yes, Carol.
That we can't deal with and we can't muddle ourselves out of the puddle. What
right.
do we do?
Muddle yourself out of the puddle?
Yeah. He's there. You know, he stands with us and says,
amen.
It's okay, now try to swim a little deeper. Let me
That's
show
right.
you how this goes.
Mm-hmm.
Get to the shallow end.
Right.
I'll be waiting there.
Right.
And I will take your hand and I will pull you out of the muck and the mire. You've just
right.
placed yourself.
Exactly. And how like the mother nature of God to do that very thing, which he does in our lives.
It
and then
does.
He says, wait a minute, let's revisit this. Let's go at this a different angle. Let's try this instead of that.
That's
and,
right.
You know, and he really communicates to our heart. You know, so many times I have people say, I want to hear from God. And we did a little series recently on hearing from God.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the bottom line is our hearts have got to become entwined on the same frequency, if you will. You know, we got
to
get on the same frequency
the voice
of God.
Of the shepherd.
There you go. That's it.
Yeah. You know, and when you have a group of lambs or you have a group of sheep or you have a group of goats or
right.
llamas, if you are a shepherd,
right.
literally living and caring for those four-legged creatures,
right.
they will know your voice. If you display panic in your voice, they will display panic.
Right.
If you know, and you are totally responsible for them.
Right.
They can't go to the local grocery store and pick up a bag of corn and come home.
Right. Well,
you know, they are dependent on you, and that's what God wants.
Exactly.
Us to be.
Oh my
when
gosh!
When
He's
yes. talking to us.
Yes, He does.
Sometimes we don't hear the voice of
mm-hmm.
the shepherd because
mm-hmm.
we have not allowed Him to shepherd us.
Yes, we don't learn it because we don't need it, I think,
That's
a lot
right.
of times. And we just go about our merry way, just living our lives, doing our things. You see this when you're raising children. I mean, You see, a lot of times they're independent. They want to do their thing. Alice, did you ever experience that with a teenage daughter?
Oh, Sarah.
Yeah.
We won't talk about details, but there were many times when I really wondered whose child she was.
Right.
Because it couldn't possibly be any child of mine.
She was growing.
Yeah.
Right, exactly.
She was hearing the shepherd's voice, whether you realized it or not.
Right.
And
right.
She may not have realized it, because teenagers sometimes only hear the opening and the closing of the refrigerator.
Right. Or the ringing of the telephone.
Mama.
Right.
Or the ringing of the telephone.
Or the ringing of the telephone.
Sure.
Or the music. That's the mama to them at those moments.
Right.
But she was probably hearing his voice stirring within her,
you know,
just like Lori.
It took Lori
a long time to really understand how precious she is to God.
Absolutely, Carol. I agree. Go ahead, yeah. Alice, on Sarah.
Yeah, well, you know, I know that Sarah was hearing God's voice, and I know that Sarah was listening to me, which is really, at the time, I didn't think she heard a thing. But it was, you know, when she got a little bit older, I mean, she's 26 now. When she got a little bit older in her early 20s, she actually called me one day and goes, "Mom, you were right. I nearly fell over."
And isn't that vindication?
Yeah, it was.
I mean, that's a job well done, Mom. That's a great job, Alice.
Yeah.
You know, maybe just little small words from your daughter, but it had such an impact.
It does.
Yeah.
The way you reared her, the way you were there for her. You know, you were there for her, and Pastor Marsha was there for her children, just like God is for us.
Amen.
Not always showy.
Right.
But always there.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
Ooh. Not always in the forefront.
Yeah, absolutely.
Allowing you to make mistakes, of course, because you got to make those mistakes.
We got to make them,
yeah.
Really.
And,
you know, in order to learn to fly, you've got to be able to crawl and to get up and so forth. And that's what you, as parents, as mamas, did to your children.
Right. Exactly.
There's so many times that I, you know, would see Sarah making or heading towards a mistake.
Yeah, okay.
You know, and I would want to jump in there and say, you know, protect her or pull her out of that situation,
right.
You know, and I couldn't do that because to do that, I don't think she would have learned to resent me.
Right.
But she wouldn't have learned whatever lesson she was supposed to learn. So we would talk and I would say, you know, this is what I think. You've got to do your own. You got to make your own decision. But this is how I'm seeing things.
Right.
And I would let her make her decision. It was really hard to do because there were so many times that I just really wanted to just step in there and take over. But I couldn't because I knew that she was growing and that she was becoming the person that God wants her to be. And
yes.
The mistakes
and
she makes.
She has to make her mistakes.
Right.
Yeah. You made yours. I'm sure your parents were warping on the floor going, "Will she ever learn?"
Right.
And yes, you did.
Yeah.
And yes, you became a wonderful mother.
Yeah,
now,
I know.
My mother and I were not close in a lot of ways, but from the very beginning of my life, my mother started speaking to me about God and Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. And for a woman who professed to be of a spirituality that doesn't necessarily believe in the triune God, that was a major thing.
Right.
But
sure.
There was nothing I couldn't ask my mother or say to my mother, nothing, regardless of how goofy it was or how intense it was.
Right.
You know, or I would talk to her about so many things, like when my friends were starting to get into troubles in their teens, I thought that was not the way you should go. And I would talk to my mother and say, "Mother, this is why I don't want to go to that party."
Right.
Or, "Mother, this is why I want my curfew 11 o'clock.
Yeah.
Instead of 12 or 1.
Yep.
You know, because at the same time my mother was speaking to me about God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit, I was learning. I wore my little Bible out. I still have it. And it is just almost in shreds.
Right.
But I refused to get rid of it because that was the beginning of my picking up the Bible and reading it.
Right. Exactly. Well, yeah, go ahead, Alice. You wanted to say something? No. Did you finish that? Okay,
yeah,
with Sarah.
Yeah.
So anyway, you know, these are good points we're making. It really is. And God really understands that because his whole nature is the mother hen nature,
right,
you know?
Right.
So he lets us make those mistakes like we as parents have done in some cases with our kids.
And you know, what's funny is that sometimes we ask God, "God, why did you let this happen?" You
know, yes,
and
we
then,
do. Yeah.
And then we're like, oh, well, you know, if I hadn't made that choice, this probably wouldn't have happened.
There you go.
So maybe it was God doing the same thing that I did with my daughter. I see what's happening. I've counseled you against it or whatever in the Word. You know, he's told us in the Word everything we need to know.
Right.
So, you know, and it's up to us to read it.
Right.
And just like it's up to my daughter to listen to me or not, you know, take my advice or not.
Right.
So there's so many times that I said, oh, God, why did you let this happen? And I'm like, ooh, you know, maybe it wasn't God. Maybe
God
it was me, you know, making that mistake that I needed to make for whatever reason to learn from it. And, you know.
And we do learn from it.
Right.
Listen to this song. Walls Are Coming Down by Building 429 is the name of the group.
Wow.
Go ahead.
I'm where I don't want to stay. Close enough but far away. There's just too much at stake. I don't want to miss the moment of embrace. Yeah. I don't want to stand at an arm's length from the hands that are reaching to save me. Right here, right now, his hands are reaching out. I don't want to stand at an arm's length from the hands that are reaching to hold me. Right here, right now, my walls are coming down. I keep waiting for a sign.
Stand at arm's length from the hands that are reaching out to save me. You know, and we were talking a few moments ago, Alice, about kids and how sometimes they kind of pull away from us and they rebel and get over there and do their own thing,
right.
You know?
Yeah.
And we do that.
Oh, wow.
I mean, adults do that. We stay away from God. We let him be reaching out to us and we're kind of backing off over here doing our own thing.
Dancing just out of step. Out of reach.
Just out of reach. Yeah. Absolutely. Let's go back to Psalm 91, and we'll get Carol back in here in just a second. Psalm 91, where we were in verse 2, I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. We've got to say that.
Yeah.
God, you're my refuge. You're my fortress.
You're the God that I trust. I trust you, God.
It's hard to develop that trust, though, isn't it, Alice?
Yeah, especially when, you know, people, I know that from my own experiences, you know, I've been hurt by people.
Sure.
And so it's hard to
learn. Hurt people, right?
it's hard to develop trust with people for me because I've been hurt in the past, you know? And so sometimes I'm kind of on guard,
right?
You know, especially if I see personality similarities and that sort of thing. So for people that haven't experienced God's love and that really right. don't know God and haven't developed a relationship with Him, I can see where it would be difficult to trust God.
Because, absolutely.
You know, especially when you've had a lot of hurts in your own personal life, whatever, you know, whether it's from your immediate family or you know, a spouse or something.
Right.
It can be really hard to reach out to God and trust Him.
Exactly.
But the awesome thing about it is that, you know, if I have found that if you will just spend some quiet time with God,
amen,
He will do things to earn your trust.
He will answer prayer
and he will speak
to your heart.
Yeah.
And that's really what Psalm 91 is about, sitting down in the presence of God, right, dwelling right. in His presence, because that's where He works on your heart. And when you take the time to spend time like that, the series, Where Your Heart Is, your heart begins to change and you desire to spend more time.
Right, exactly. I mean, if you think about it, when you, let's say you meet somebody new that you want to be in a relationship with. Okay.
Right.
And you say, oh, hey, they're cute or whatever, you know, and say, have some interest in them. You won't develop that relationship unless you spend time together.
Absolutely.
And that's, you know, that's my thing and that I'm always talking about is that, you know, this relationship with God, it's a relationship. It's
yes.
a friendship. You
yes.
have to spend time with God in order to develop that relationship. If you don't have communication in a, you know, a personal one-on-one relationship with anybody, you're not
right.
going to develop that. You're not going
not
to know
happen.
The person. You're not going to understand where they're coming from.
Right.
So if you spend that time with God and you talk to God about what's on your heart
right.
and you read His word, He'll speak to your
heart.
He'll
speak to your
You'll heart. Learn about who God is, what makes Him tick.
Right.
You know?
And that's exactly right.
Right. And you'll see His characteristics start coming out and you start seeing who He is.
Right.
Then you can realize that He's very trustworthy.
Oh,
very
amen.
Trustworthy.
Well, the reason Moses could write this is because he was dwelling right there.
Oh, yeah.
In the Almighty God, El Shaddai's presence. Mm-hmm. Carol, do you want to comment on that? Because this is good stuff here, you know?
Well, I have a lot of comments about relationships. some of them are good and some are bad.
Yeah.
I had a relationship that was very detrimental. It only took me 23 years to realized it was detrimental.
Mm.
I realized it, but I didn't know how to get out of it.
Right, yeah.
And I would try to study scripture. I wasn't even allowed to do that. The name was not even allowed to be mentioned in my home. So after much prayer and finally, I realized that I had asked to be set free. All of my prayers were saying to God, set me free. I don't
right.
know how to get free. Set me free.
Right.
And He set me free.
Yeah.
And I, from that day, have bloomed and blossomed in the ways that He was trying to get me to do.
Mm-hmm.
He never left me. He stayed with me, even in the good, and there were good times. And then in the bad times, He was there
yes.
with me more than I even realized.
Right.
And
exactly.
from being asked to be set free, my prayers were always, without me knowing it, set me free.
Yeah.
And if we can set ourselves free from whatever dominates us,
right.
whether it be a drug addiction, alcohol addiction, sexual addiction, just a fear of something or depression, if our prayers just simply, if we can't do anything more than to say, set me free.
Right.
You know, we can be set free, and we can at that point be all He has asked us to be. We can go back to being the small children that Mom and Dad tried to protect.
Right,
tried
exactly.
Tried to keep from walking in the bad things. He tried to keep me from walking in the things, and finally He opened that path and gave me the courage to totally trust Him to remove me.
That's what it's
all about. And in doing so, I have a song of praise in my heart every single day. I see colors that I never used to see. I hear music that the birds sing that I never heard. I see humor in myself that had died.
Right.
I see all these wonderful things. And if anybody's caught up in anything that forces them to be less than what God wants them to be.
Amen.
There is a way out. And it's called leaning in the loving arms of Jesus Christ.
Amen. And that
He will not fail you. I wrote something in May 15th, 05, and I'm looking at it. And I wrote this to Carol. It says, how can you provide for me, Lord? I need to work on my weaknesses. I can't stay by a dried brook. I can't stay in fear. I've got to help other people do what God wants me to do.
Yes.
You know, a dead brook, a person who is addicted to anything, a person who is so down they can't even look up, a person who is lower than a snake's belly, those people have got to realize that there's a dried brook and they're trying to suck water out of that dried stream.
Right.
It won't come.
Absolutely.
And we have to have the living water of the Lord Jesus Christ. There was a stream that ran through my ranch. At times, it would be dry. Nothing could get water there.
Yeah.
Nothing could stay in there and live.
Wow.
Even the salamanders and the frogs would hop out, break out of the riverbed, and go to a place where there was water.
Right.
And when that thing was full, it was a full stream of life and joy and great abundance. And that's what we are. If we are staying by a dead, dry stream,
right,
we need to fill ourselves with the living water of Jesus Christ.
Amen. And I really think Moses understood that, what you're saying here, Carol, because in Psalm 91, verse 3, he says, "Surely he will save you from the fowler's snare and from the deadly pestilence. He'll cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you'll find refuge, and his faithfulness will be your shield and rampart." In the Message Bible, I love what it says right there, because it says, "God, you're my refuge. I trust in you, and I'm safe." And no matter what, whether we're in a bad relationship, a bad situation in life, whatever the problem may be, when we turn to God, and he is our refuge, like you were talking about, is what you had to do and what we've all had to do in different times in our life, then we can trust in him, and we're safe. And the next line in the Message Bible says, that's right, he rescues you from hidden traps. You know, there's traps in our lives. You know, we don't want our kids to go falling in hidden traps, Alice.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, and you know, there's so many times that we as parents can see things because of our experiences.
Exactly.
The things that we have already lived through in our lives.
Right.
So, you know, we can see maybe personalities of friends that may not be a good friendship for, you know, our child to get into.
Right.
That's the first thing that comes to mind.
Sure.
You know.
Right. I remember those days thinking that with my daughter. Yeah.
Yeah. When you know, you see a personality or something, and you're like, you know, I've dealt with people that have similar personalities, right, and this is what I remember about those situations. I really don't want my kid getting into that.
Right.
So you try to warn your child.
Yeah.
Doesn't always work.
Doesn't always work, no.
But you do, you know. And,
you do try.
And I think the best thing, in those kind of situations, is just tell them what you've experienced.
Right.
You know, and I found that, you know, in ministry.
Yes.
If you just talk to people about what you have experienced and things that you've gone through, God works through that.
Oh, he does.
He does.
And you can say what Moses said right here. You know what? God does rescue us from hidden traps.
Oh, yes.
You know, he does shield us from deadly hazards.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's things that happen. His huge arms protect us. Under them, we're perfectly safe. His arms fend off all harm. And that is that place where we learn to so abide and settle down and sit down in him that we are trusting him no matter what the circumstances look like. And that's not easy sometimes.
No, it's not, because sometimes we think we know.
Oh, yeah.
That always trips me up, because I think I know. You know, I was like, oh, yeah, I think I know what's going to happen here. And I go with whatever I think I know.
Right.
And doesn't always turn out that way.
Right.
Sometimes, you know, sometimes my judgment is right there, but sometimes it's not. And I find that if I take time with God first.
It's time. That's what it is right there.
Take the time with God first. And then look at the
situation
again.
When you're with God and you're taking the quiet time and you're trying to get away from that dry brook and sit where the living water is flowing, and you can see all of nature and everything in that and see how pretty it is and how pristine and how cool and refreshing. And if you're trying to absorb all of that, whether it be sitting in your living room with scripture or with music, and you're just praying and just resting in God, and someone comes in and intentionally disrupts that, that is a warning sign that you don't need to be where you are.
Yeah,
that was a warning sign for me.
Sure.
Every time I tried to spend time quietly, away from the hassle of everything else, job, work, whatever, and spend time just in my own way, saying, thank you, thank you, thank you. And that time is disrupted. You need to start paying attention. And God wants us to do that. When we are disrupted from a communion with Him, He wants us to notice and pay attention.
Well, it's so,
like,
yeah.
You know, the mothering nation of Him, like you both are saying, because you're mamas and I'm not, the both of you are saying the same thing. We want our children loved and protected.
Yes.
We want them to grow. We want them to experience. And we're going to try to keep a check on everything that we can, even if we have to do it subversively or in the background. That's what He does to us.
Right.
And you will be, either one of you, to this day, would be the first to run rescue your child.
Sure.
Even though they're in their 40s or whatever, you would run
rescue not.
Your children.
No, they're not. They're younger than that. But still, you're right.
It's just that you look, you know, you just remind me that you're older than me.
Well, no, we just didn't want to feel that old.
But you're not older than me. Actually, I'm the older in this group.
You're the senior member here today.
With white hair.
But Carol, you're exactly right about that, because so often we do want to go and rescue others, or we do want to be rescued. And the good thing about this Mother Nature of God, El Shaddai, is that He does come and He rescues us, you know? He rescues us from our own ignorance, our own mistakes. Go ahead, Alice, you had one to comment on what she was saying there.
Well, you know, you talk about, you know, a parent running out and rescue a child. I was actually having lunch with a friend of mine today over at her mom's, and their whole family was there and everything, because my family's all back in Houston.
Right.
And one of the younger kids, I'd say, gosh, he's probably about 5 or so, maybe probably younger than that. He's probably about 4. He thought he saw his favorite uncle drive by.
Oh.
And he opened the front door and just darted out
Front
door.
Oh, my.
I've never seen so many women jump up and run after a child in my life.
Right.
You know.
Protecting.
And protecting him, you know. And he was upset that he got a timeout for, you know. And didn't understand that everyone was trying to protect him. But
sure.
He scared everybody.
Yeah.
And.
Good point.
Afterwards, you know, his mom talked to him and said, you know, why did you run out the door? You know, and he explained that he thought he saw his uncle drive by and he was coming, you know, so he's all excited.
Right.
So that, you know, that was all understood. But I keep thinking about us as children of God.
Right.
That we're, you know, His children. And there's so many times that we want to run out and dart.
Right.
And God will corral us and give us time out.
Yes, He will.
There's so many times that we disappoint Him. Not meaning to. You know, I don't think children, and having taught for 30 years and having had every age group imaginable and every situation imaginable, I don't think they truly want to disappoint anybody. But they do.
Yeah,
you know, they disappoint you because they don't make the parents say, well, I want you to make all A's. Well, the kid comes home with a B or an F, and the parents disappointed. We disappoint God, but He doesn't walk away and leave us.
That's right.
I mean, I'm sure that if either of your children came home with a grade or a torn shirt or dress, you didn't throw them out in the yard and say, stay there till I'm not disappointed.
No.
No, and He doesn't do that to us.
Exactly.
You know, He basically will let us know that we've let Him down, and He does it through our conscience, I think, of us going, gee whiz, you know, that God, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to say that to hurt somebody's feelings.
Right, sure.
No, I really didn't.
Right.
And then He will tell us what to do, you know, like, go make amends, go apologize. And if He does that for us, and mothers do that, I'm not saying dads don't, but this is Mother's Day, hallelujah, you know, mothers do that, you're not going to throw the baby out with the wash.
Right, exactly. Whoa, we'll have to get back to this, Carol. We got station ID due right now.
WTAN, Clearwater, Tampa Bay. WDCF, Dade City, Tampa Bay. KLRG, Sheridan, Little Rock. And FM 94.5, K233BF, Little Rock.
All right. Welcome, all of you that are listening in different stations in this area. And if you're listening on the web, that's cool. Great reception. It's www.tantalk1340.com. And you can actually see us in the studio. It's on video. And Alice is waving to you right now. And we're glad that you're joining us today. Some of you are probably listening to this, or will in the future listen to this, on our website, which is a wonderful thing. And our engineer, Cedric, sends the show to us right after the show. And then it gets up to Georgia to Maxine, our webmaster, and she gets it on our website. And we've got a ton of shows now on our website. Yeah. Great thing to do in the middle of the night if you can't sleep. Right, Alice?
Actually, it is. I've recently had situations where I was having some difficulty sleeping, and I was like, what am I going to do? I don't want to watch TV.
Right.
I mean, you know, I just don't want to waste time like that. And I was like, well, oh, the radio show.
Radio show.
There's some shows that I missed I want to go listen to, or some I want to re-listen to.
Right.
Like the anniversary show.
Yes.
That was a really good show.
Yeah, it was.
And, you know, just...
Was that? Have you listened to that
again?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay,
it was a
good. That's great. That's fun.
And so, you know, I'll go back and I'll listen to them, and it's really... It's peaceful.
It is. It's
I don't know how else to describe it. I get such a sense of peace from listening to the radio shows.
Praise God.
And that helps me relax, helps me to know that God's got it all under control, and
Absolutely.
Then I can rest.
Amen. Alice, I want you to, before we get to this next song, explain the prayer ministry, because it was birthed in you in 2009.
It was, yeah.
When we were actually the... Well, 08, I guess. I'm sorry.
When we were church in a box.
Church in a box after the truck had ran through our building in Dunedin, and we were very small, and you began to come and worship with us after you moved here from Houston.
Yeah, I noticed that there wasn't an avenue for prayer requests.
Right.
And, you know, I mean, yeah, we say them at church, but, you know, that's one thing people say, I pray for you, but I was always like, do you really? And I knew myself. I would write prayer requests down, and what often would... come back to church the next week and go, oh man, I was supposed to pray about that, you know.
Exactly,
and I didn't.
Yeah.
So I was, you know, I said that we needed an avenue to get the prayer requests out and the
right.
prayers out and the praise reports out.
Exactly.
Too. So we have an email set up at prayers@beaconofhopeministries.com. If you have prayer requests, please send them in. We have a number of people who will write out we'll then send an email out to the prayer team.
Sure.
We'll include your original prayer request and a prayer.
Right.
So anybody sitting at the, you know, that's on the prayer team that can, you know, gets this email on their phone.
Right.
On their computer at work, you know, wherever they get their email.
Sure.
They can immediately right then read the prayer request and then pray the prayer right there. Everybody's praying in agreement.
Amen.
It's so cool when we get an email back, you know, which is a praise report saying,
yes.
look what God has done. You know?
It is, isn't it?
And so, yeah, it's a great thing. And if you want to participate and be one of the prayers, if you're a prayer warrior, we can always use you.
Absolutely.
So please send an email to prayers@beaconofhopeministries.com, and we will add your name to the prayer list if that's what you want. And then you can be praying along with us when those requests
absolutely.
Come in.
Because there's requests that come from all over. So,
right. Right.
Yeah, we need more people to be praying on that prayer team.
Oh,
we get
yeah.
some serious requests that come through, very life-threatening, serious requests. And Carol, you're one of those that writes a lot of those prayers, and we appreciate the effort that is done there. And we're going to get back to our discussion in a few minutes, but we got to play Alice's favorite song.
It is.
And it was my dad's favorite song. And Carol, I know you love this one, Through It All by Selah.
I've had many tears and sorrows. I've had questions for tomorrow. There've been times I didn't know right from wrong. But in every situation, God gave blessed consolation that my trials only come to make me strong.
Places and I've seen so many faces, but there have been times I felt so all alone. But in that lonely hour, in that precious lonely hour, Jesus let me know I was His own. Through. If I never had a problem,
God saw them, wouldn't know what faith in His word could do. That's the reason I say that through it all.
To depend upon His word. Alice, I love it. Woo! Great song. I love the way Selah does that song.
Oh, that song is just so amazing. Every time I hear it, wow. I don't know how to even describe how I feel.
It just does, doesn't it?
I wrote this line down as the song was being played, because it's just, this one really touches me every time I hear it. If I never had a problem, I wouldn't know that God could solve them.
Isn't that amazing?
You know,
line?
So many times we complain about stuff that's going on in our lives, you know?
Right.
And instead of thanking God for what's going on in our lives, even if they are a difficulty or hurdle we have to overcome,
absolutely,
or a valley, you know, whatever it is, there's so many times that we complain about it when we should be thanking God for those problems, because those problems are creating an opportunity for us to see God's amazing power.
Absolutely. Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Graham Cook says you need a problem. You need a problem in order to grow your faith.
Right.
And we don't like to hear that sometimes.
No, we don't.
But how do we learn?
Those problems can really be hurtful.
But when we go back to Psalm 91, and Carol will bring you back in here, we go back and in the Message Bible it says, and Moses knew this. Moses was a shepherd. Moses understood these principles right here. It's Moses that got to the edge of the Red Sea, you know,
right,
with the Egyptians behind him.
Mm-hmm.
God was really ministering that to me this week, Alice, and the problem I was going through. And he said, look, remember Moses, because the Egyptians were all coming behind him, ready to kill him. He had 3 million people right there with him, Moses did. And they get to the Red Sea, and there's no way to get across. That's Exodus, and I love that story in Exodus. And what happens is God stands the water up and freezes it.
I know, isn't that cool?
75 feet up in the air on both sides, and they walk through on dry land.
Yeah.
And God was saying, when you think you don't have an answer, you think you don't have no way to get through, you know, you think that maybe your child or your relationship or something going on in your life is so huge that there's no way around it, God can make a way where there seems to be.
Right.
No way.
Exactly.
Another favorite song of yours. Right?
Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah. It's just, you know, God constantly amazes me. He seems to, even the mistakes I make,
right,
He seems to somehow, in one way or another, turn them around that I will learn from them.
Yes.
Or something will come of them that's not necessarily as bad as I would originally think. You
Absolutely.
Know? And, God is just amazing in that way. It's like He's just showing me how much He loves me.
Right.
It's like, okay, you messed up. But you know what? We can fix this.
Exactly. We can fix this. I got the answer.
Yeah.
I got the answer.
I've got the whiteout. It's all good.
All right. Yes. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just.
That's right.
To forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
And that's why it's so important to have that communication with God constantly and say, you know, when you mess up and you say, God, I messed up. And that's a confession
right
there, you know. And I messed up, and I've got to fix this situation. And He'll help you fix it.
Well, and that's how He gets to know your heart,
right,
where your heart is. Carol, comment on that. Ooh, because we do get ourselves in some messes, don't we?
Yeah, we do. We can get ourselves in some pretty big things. But, you know, He teaches us through all the things that He has placed here, through nature, through the storms and the skies. You know, we go through an awful storm on Earth, and we think this is it. It's just not going to happen. We're not going to have this house. We're not going to have this town. We're not going to have this.
Right.
We've seen
yes.
so much of this past fall and spring. And
right.
I think through it all, He teaches people the resilience of the human soul.
Yeah, exactly.
And those that believe and trust in Him know that it was only temporary to begin with.
Yes,
and that the house you build on earth is a temporary dwelling. The house you build in your heart with God.
Amen.
It's the house that matters.
Exactly. That's the true house of God. That's it. That's the true house of God. You're the house of God because the kingdom of God dwells within you and lives in you. And this is what God is looking for in this series that we're talking about, where your heart is where, you know, where are you? Where's your dwelling? Where are you hanging out? Are you hanging out in God's presence? Are you hanging out simply just playing video games? Nothing wrong with video games, but is that where your heart is? You know, Alice, comment on that. We'll go back to Carol.
It's so easy to get distracted.
Yes.
With the video games or whatever.
Right.
There's so many things in this world to distract us from our relationship
absolutely
with God.
There are.
And God understands it. You know, Jesus walked this earth. He understands distractions.
Right.
He understands how you can be pulled one way and pulled another way. I mean, you think about it. His own mother, you know, was asked him to perform a miracle before. I'm sure it was in God's timing, but
right.
Yeah, it was before
he was really ready.
Before he was really ready for this.
Yeah.
And, you know, people will put demands on us.
Right.
Situations will put demands on
right.
us. It's really important for us to try to carve out that time with God.
Amen.
You know, we do it for our work. We know, okay, like for me, I know I work from 8 to 5. I get an hour for lunch. You know, my lunch break is carved out.
Right.
You know, my at-work hours are carved out. I try to get a decent amount of sleep at night, so that time is carved out. And, you know, and then church time, you know, time I spend at church ministry, whatever, that time is carved out.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, so I've got other things I want to do. And it's like, oh, I haven't spent time with God.
Right.
So it's really important for us to put it on our calendar.
Absolutely.
You know?
Make an appointment with Him.
Exactly. And I'm one of those people, I used to, that where I had one of those planners.
Oh, yeah.
And every, you know, especially my work day, I had a meeting here and a meeting there and this and that.
Right.
And I found that if I would schedule in a meeting with God,
right.
whether it was like first thing in the morning, get to work 15 minutes early, whatever, you know, and just have that few minutes of alone time,
right.
if I scheduled it into my day,
right.
it happened.
That's exactly right. That's sitting and dwelling in the presence of God, and it changes us entirely.
Oh, yeah.
Carol, you want to comment on that? Because I love this in Psalm 91, where Moses is really discussing what happens when we dwell in the presence of the Lord. It changes us, you know?
When you sit anytime with a comforter, and that's what God is.
Right.
He's a comforter. When you sit with a comforter, you are being comforted. Whether it's one of God's earthly angels that He sends to you to have that shoulder that you can put your head on and sob till you can't sob any longer.
Right.
Or whether it's just someone who looks at you on a really bad day for you and says, you're so attractive today. Or I like this or I like that about you. Or I feel comfortable when I'm around you.
Right, exactly.
It's
yeah.
the comforter coming to us.
Sure.
And dwelling us in a place that nobody or nothing else could do.
Right.
You know, as we read in Isaiah 66, 11 through 13, for you will nurse and be satisfied at her comforting breast, as one whom his mother comforts, so I will comfort you.
Mm-hmm.
And then we go down to Matthew 23:37. How often I have longed to hold you, and to gather your chickens together as a hen gathers her chicks under her, or your children together. And he's speaking, of course, to Jerusalem when he's saying this, and he wants to comfort.
Yes.
Comfort Jerusalem, but you weren't willing. We aren't willing. When we are not willing, we are denying ourselves the peace, the comfort, and the mercy, and the grace of Jesus Christ. And that is just something that is so very calming to our souls. Our souls need to hear that He brings us peace, He brings
Amen.
Us comfort, He brings us joy, He brings us love, He brings us compassion and forgiveness and grace.
Oh, amen. I mean, that's exactly right. And in Psalm 91 here, I don't know which verse, His huge outstretched arms protect you. Under them, you're perfectly safe. His arms fend off all harm. And then he goes into this fear nothing. And I said this morning, Alice, but I honestly believe that one of the biggest hindrances to us resting in God is fear.
Oh, yeah.
Don't you?
100% agree with you. And fear takes on so many different things.
It
encompasses so much.
Right.
You could be a fear of anything. Any fear is something that can keep you from doing what you need to do.
Oh.
I think sometimes when you give your fears voice, if you say, I'm so afraid there's going to be a bill in the mail and I can't pay it.
Right, stuff like that.
Or I'm so afraid that my cousin Pollyanna that's in the hospital is not going to come through.
Right.
When we give a voice to those fears, I think we, in some way, give them power.
Right, yeah.
So when, you know, when I go, like when I was so badly injured and I didn't want to open the mailbox because I hadn't worked in quite some time and I was so afraid there'd be something in there that I couldn't pay, and I finally began to realize I can't pay it, people, I don't have enough blood to give to every turnip in town, you know. So I would start going to the mailbox instead of saying, Lord, please don't let there be something in there I can't pay. I would go to the mailbox saying, thank you, Jesus, that in that mailbox is a way to take care of whatever I need to take care of in my personal finances.
Right. There you go. So you just turned
around. I can't tell you how many times I've had like a $42 light bill, and I knew it was due, and I knew I didn't have the funds to pay for it, and I would say that prayer, Lord, just grant me the ability to be able to do this. Open the mailbox. There's a refund from something I didn't even know I was supposed to get a refund. It'd be $42.50,
right.
Just like Bill.
Exactly. And what it is not fearing. When we dwell in the presence of God, like Moses is talking about here, and really hang out in Him, we get to a point where we understand that to fear is really sin. It's unbelief. It's doubt. And when we, you know, Paul says, you know, God has not given us a spirit of fear,
right?
But power, love, and a sound mind. Go ahead, Alice.
I was telling a friend of mine recently, I said, you know, fear and worry, all that is really a lack of faith in what God can
it
do.
It is. It is.
And not to say that people aren't going to have their fears and worries.
Yes,
you know,
yes.
I've had my share of them, but I've learned.
We all do. Yeah.
I have learned that if I take those fears and worries to God,
right.
And I will, you know, I'll voice them to Him, and I'll say, God, this is what I'm afraid of.
Mm-hmm.
This is what's concerning me.
Mm-hmm.
I will find that He will speak to my heart, and He will give me, especially when I'm journaling, you know, and I write that that beginning phrase of, you know, my child, I say unto you,
yes,
and then God
yes.
starts speaking to me.
Speaking to you.
You know, it's. He always has those words of comfort.
Yes.
And it's always, you know, it's almost always, look at me.
Right.
Keep your eyes on
me. Keep your eyes.
Keep your eyes
That's
on
right.
God. And these things will work out. They'll work themselves out. Just keep your eyes on God.
Oh, totally.
That's when we chose to come up here, it wasn't just like one day we're driving down the road after church one Wednesday night and saying, oh, gee, maybe we just need to go to Georgia. It didn't happen that way. And I was explaining to somebody a couple of days ago, they said, how did you just, because they're trying to make a transition in their life, they think they want to make one from job and housing, from where they currently live and where they currently work to something different that's less stressful, a little bit better situation all the way around. They said, how did you do it? Did you have a lot of fear? And I said, amazingly, no.
Mm-hmm.
I said,
God's
we had
leading.
No
yes.
fear. I
yes.
said, when the Holy Spirit put
right.
that puff of wind
yes.
in my ear and said,
right.
go and go now, we had no fear. We had no trepidation. We had no accommodation. All we knew, I interpreted, and I think I was correct, it's been proven that way, to come to Georgia and do His will up here, wherever,
right.
whatever, however.
Right. And
we found the perfect house after about
yeah.
45 houses.
Right.
And we found the perfect neighborhood.
Yes.
We found the perfect place to do His work and His ministry.
Yes.
Plus the perfect place to be treated medically, since I didn't realize I was in that period of time from 3 years from that date be put into a situation with the breast cancer.
Right.
But it was all His perfect timing and His perfect way. And Maxine and I were talking about this yesterday. We had no fear.
Right.
And we both laughed and said, and we said it at the same time, we had no fear.
You know, go ahead, Alice. You want to comment on
yeah,
that, Carol?
I mean, my situation is very similar coming back here to Tampa.
Yeah.
You know, from Houston. You know, I quit my job and packed up and came, and because this is where I knew God wanted me to be.
Right.
And it was so easy to make that choice. And I knew that God was going to take care of everything. I didn't have a job here. I didn't have a place to live, except, you know, thanks to my pastor, I did have a place to live. But, you know, it's God worked everything
he
out.
Did.
He worked the housing situation
yes,
out.
Yes.
He worked the job situation out. And it, I don't know. I'm flabbergasted.
Step of faith. You know, when you two were talking about this, it reminded me, I suddenly saw my little son, Mark, when he was six. Okay. And my kids all played basketball, baseball, football. No, not football. That was one injury and that was the end of football. But basketball and baseball, for sure, they did. And so Mark was 6 years old and he was starting the league basketball team. And so he's out there warming up and they're all warming up and they decide to start him, you know, as on the team. He's out there and they tell him where to go, stand on the floor. And he just looks over at me and panics and comes running over to me on the sideline and goes, I can't do it. I can't do it. I can't do that. I said, you play basketball all the time with your brother, your dad, you know, with me. You can play. You can play. No, I can't. I'm afraid. I can't do it. I can't do it, you know. And I remember this distinctly, and I just said, Mark, you're going to go out there, and you're going to do that, and stay in for a little while. Let's just try it for a couple minutes and see how you do. And it was just that kind of that shove, you know, but yeah. It was that fear of, I don't think I'm going to be able to do this. But again, me, the mother, just pushed him out and said, yes, son, you can do it. You can play good. You can do it. And, of course, he played for years and years and years. Right. So, but so often it's that mother nature of God, Alice and Carol, that are pushing us a little along and saying, fear not. You can do this, right. You know, fear not. You can get out there. Go ahead, Alice, and then we'll go back to Carol.
I just had a picture of a mother bird pushing the baby bird out of the nest, to teach
right.
it how to fly.
Right.
You know, and sometimes God has to do that with us.
Yes.
Sometimes God has got to give us a little boot out of the nest and we're like, right. oh, look, I can fly.
Absolutely. Fear not, he says right here. Fear nothing. Not wild wolves in the night. What verse am I in there, Alice?
Let me see.
Maybe
this is about
four.
Five?
Okay. Fear nothing, not wild wolves in the night, not flying arrows in the day, not disease. A lot of us fear disease. You know,
yeah.
What's going to happen?
Especially with family history.
Yes, family history. And they all talk about family history. Not disease that prowls through the darkness, not disaster that erupts at high noon, even though others succumb all around, drop like flies right and left. No harm will even graze you. This is what God's saying to us in Psalm 91. We're not going to be harmed. You know, we got to quit fearing that.
Right.
Go ahead with that, Alice.
I mean, we do fear things. Things that we don't know. Things that, you know, sometimes it's like, well, what's so-and-so going to think, you know, and what's so-and-so. And you got to remember that as long as you're staying in step with what God wants for you, there's nothing to fear. Because he's got it taken care of. He already knows the outcome.
Right.
You know, but the main thing is that we have to remember to stay in his step with him.
Amen. Listen to this song by Mike's Chair, and we'll come back to you both. Fight the Feeling.
You won't accept all the things you can't see. You say a mind can't conceive. A beautiful creator. But in your heart, you know. You can't fight the feeling burning deep inside your soul. Just give in to healing.
I'm the lover of your soul, and I will never let you go.
a really different song. I've never heard that.
I had never heard that before. And at first I was listening to it and I was like, what is this? But you know, there's a line in that song.
Yes, I saw you writing. I was writing too. What were you writing?
It says something. I didn't get it exactly, but it was something along the lines of you try to run away, but you never get far.
Right.
You're covered in bruises and scars. I was like, wow, that was me at one time.
Yes.
That was me at one time trying to run away.
Right.
But God didn't let me get far.
Right.
And even though I was covered with all these bruises and scars, these hurts of childhood hurts or past relationship hurts or whatever, God's healed those.
Oh, amen. And he's so the healer of our bodies and our emotions, isn't he?
Oh, good song. Good job, Connie.
Good song. Yeah. Carol, comment on that.
Well, I like to think of it as strength for the journey.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
Through all the bruises and the beats and the bangs and the scratches and the skirmishes we go through, we gain strength for the journey. And the journey being going to him totally and completely. And along the way, letting our star shine so that other people can see what he has done in us. And if he can do it in us, he can do it in anybody.
Right.
And we have to let everybody know that. If he can do it in me, he can do it in you.
Absolutely.
If he can change my life, he can change yours.
Right.
If he can change my heart, he can change yours. I'm reminded of strength for the journey. When I had my ranch, I had a little calico cat, and her name was Sadie. And I purposefully wanted her to have a litter of kittens, so I would have more little barn kittens, and so she obliged. So she had five little kittens, and they got up to be about 7-8 weeks old, and they were beautiful. And I had 6,000 acres across from me that was not mine, but it was there. And one day, I couldn't find Sadie, and I couldn't find the kittens, and I said, oh, my, they're making their journey. Well, they have the strength to come back, because she took each one of them and walked them across. There was a creek, a canal. She walked them across the dry spots of the canal, so jumping from rock to rock, got them into that 6,000 acres, took them way in the middle of it somewhere, and left them. Now, they were to forge for themselves. She was teaching them. They were in the darkness.
Whoa.
Of this wooded area. She was teaching them. She strutted her little self back home and spent 3 days lollygagging around enjoying it. And I'm the one fretting and worrying, Sadie, what have you done with the kittens? So on the beginning of the fourth day, I heard a little faint meow, meow. And I looked up, and here she comes with one of them in her mouth. She made the journey to pick up all five of those babies and bring them back.
Wow. So it was just a learning experience.
If that cat can take that journey with those kitties to teach them how to survive, how to live, how to depend on what was in nature for them, God takes us to sometimes a place that we've got to, everything shuts down around us. May the darkness be a depression, may the darkness be financial burdens, whatever our journey into darkness is. He is always there. While we think the world is dark around us, his light is still there.
Amen.
And it's still covering us, it's still shining on us. And when we have called him and asked him and bled our souls out to him, that light will show us the emptiness is no longer there, that we are now walking a path out of that, a path lit by him, and he changes our world.
Oh, boy, he does.
What a journey we have
taken
at that point.
It is. I never heard of that.
Yeah, that's great. Look at verse 4 of Psalm 91. He will cover you with his feathers. And this is what you're talking about, Carol, is that mother cat loved those kittens so much she was willing to take them to a difficult place, but so that they would learn and get strong. Under his wings, you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart. You will not fear the terror of night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor the plague that destroys at midday. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. You will only observe with your eyes and see the punishment of the wicked, if you make the Most High your dwelling. Now we're back to that point there, Alice, where we talked about earlier in verse 9. If you do that.
What this is, I always point this out, that this is a promise with a condition.
Yes, yes.
This is the promise that, you know, you're going to be protected and all that.
Yes.
If. That's what part people forget. People say, oh, well, God's going to protect me. God's going to protect you if.
Right.
And that if is, you know, if you abide in him, if you make
absolutely.
His presence where you live.
Absolutely. If you absolutely treasure him and your heart is right there with his heart, these are the things that are going to happen. Verse 9 of Psalm 91. If you make the Most High your dwelling, even the Lord who is my refuge, then, there it is,
right.
No harm will befall you, no disaster will come near you. For he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone.
Yeah. Mm. He even cares that we don't stub our toes.
Woo. All right. You will tread upon the lion and the cobra. You will trample the great lion and the serpent. So it's all about hanging out in his presence.
Right.
And then receiving the benefit of protection, provision, all of those things. But it's as we spend more time with him. That's
right.
It.
Right.
Go ahead and comment, and then we'll go back to Carol.
Well, you know, I just have to say that it's so important to spend that time with God. You know,
it's vital.
And again, what's going through my head is that it's a promise with a condition.
Yes.
God has promised us that he's going to take care of us.
Right.
God has promised us that we're not even going to stub our toe. You know?
Amen. Yeah.
If we will abide in him,
right.
Live with him,
right.
Live in that place of communication and relationship with him.
Right. And just hang out there,
right,
you know?
Just hang out, yeah.
Ooh, Carol, you want to comment on this before we get to verse 14?
Well, I think when you took Mark at 6 years old and you threw him into the darkness.
Of the basketball floor.
You didn't see his darkness, but I guarantee you his little eyes didn't see the bright sunshine shining in that gym. All he saw was fear, which was dark.
That's right.
And the fear of, I can't do it, I don't know how, I'm not capable, I don't know what I'm doing. And you reached out. You called him back over. He came to you and you said, you can do this.
That's
have faith in you. I have confidence in you.
That's what
happened. Isn't that what God does to us?
Yes.
If we're placed in a situation that we create by our own fears.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And we say, I can't public speak. Please, Pastor, don't ask me to read scripture today. And the person just, I've seen that happen. The person breaks out in sweat bullets, you know?
Right.
Or you ask someone to be a greeter at the door. I can't. I don't know how to communicate with people. That's fear.
Right.
And it
exactly.
is darkening, it's blackening.
Right.
But if we can overcome that by someone saying, you can do this, I have confidence in you, I have faith in you, I have trust in you.
Exactly.
And that's what God is saying to us. Mark, you can go do that because Mama has confidence in
right.
you. You play this at home with Daddy and the boys, you are just really good. You get out there.
Right, that's what happened.
Yeah,
that's what happened, and he did.
You, I'm right here. And if you don't like it, you can come back, and then you don't have to do it again.
Right.
What happens when we overcome a fear because God gently says, you can do this. Do
right.
this for me. Or you realize that the pastor or the deacon or whoever may come to you and say, hey, we need you to take Jill's place today or Bobby's place today. They aren't here. And you're going, oh, Pastor, please, or Deacon so-and-so or whoever it is, please don't ask me to do that today. But we go ahead and we do it because they say you can. They pop you on the shoulder and say, you can do this.
Exactly.
You accomplish it. You have achieved something, and God says, see, well done, my good and favorite servant.
Right. Absolutely. It's a matter of overcoming that fear. Go ahead, Alice.
One of the things that stood out to me when Carol was talking was that a lot of people seem to have a fear of praying.
Yes.
In public.
Yes.
And I think one of the things that we're doing at Beacon of Hope on Wednesday night on our Bible study night mm-hmm. is after Bible study, we break up into small prayer groups. There's maybe six or so people in each group, or maybe mm-hmm. a little bit more. And we break up around the room and we share the needs of the group and we pray over them.
Right.
And
like that?
I do like that.
You're one of the leaders.
Yeah, I lead one of those groups and I try to have somebody different praying each time.
Right.
And I found that I say, okay, who wants to pray this week? Everyone kind of looks at each other.
Because they don't want to.
Who's going
to
volunteer, you know?
Right.
We have a few that will constantly say, okay, I'll do it. And then we have those that want to sit in the background. So I'll give
right.
them the opportunity and I'll ask them, do you want to try it? Sometimes they say no. Sometimes they'll surprise me and say yes.
Right.
And I think that as we encourage people
right.
To overcome their fears
right.
and to do it in a safe environment
yes.
where they know they're not going to be judged. Because, you know, you get to know those people in the group,
right.
you know. So they become friends
right.
and they become people you care about. And you know that you personally are not going to say anything to
mm-hmm.
make them feel bad about the way that they prayed, you know.
Right, sure.
So you encourage them.
Right.
And
as I'm seeing people's confidence grow.
Yes.
And more in the group now are saying, okay, I'll do it. You know? So it's really good to see that because,
right.
you know, as Christians, we need to share
yes.
what we know and we right. need to develop other people to, do the ministry work.
Absolutely. We need to do that. Right. Absolutely. I agree with you. Psalm 91:14, and then I want both of your take on this. I love this. Because he loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue him. In the Message Bible, it says, if you will hold on to me for dear life, says God, I'll get you out of any trouble. I'll give you the best of care if, there's your if,
there's
Alice.
That if.
If only you'll get to know and trust me. Right. That's it. Right there. Get yeah. to know and trust him. Call to me and I'll answer. I'll be at your side in bad times. I'll rescue you. And then I love this about God in the Message Bible. Then throw you a party. I'll give you a long life and give you a long drink of salvation.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. Wow. One of the things, and I've talked about this before, this little project that I'm working on, I have a wide margin Bible at home.
Right.
That I got specifically for this project that I'm working on.
Okay.
And what I'm doing is I'm reading through the Bible, not like from the beginning to end, but just picking a chapter
right.
here, a chapter there,
right.
or a book here, book there. And I recently did the book of John. It was really cool. But what I'm doing is I'm taking a pen and I'm writing out in the margin
right.
the characteristic of God that I see.
Ooh, that's good.
You know, his loving God,
yes.
Trustworthy,
yes.
faithful, you know, just
right.
one word here and there. As I'm reading it and these things come out and you find that through, as you're doing this, that God doesn't change. He's always kind and trustworthy and faithful and
yes.
a promise keeper. And, it's amazing.
That's great.
Because you see it. It's the same words are coming up over and over and over again.
Oh, that's a great
God's
idea.
Nature, you know, just never changes. And here in Psalm 91, when it says that he, what does it say? It says, if you'll hold on to me for dear life,
mm-hmm.
I'll get you out of trouble. If he, you know, he said this in the Psalm, this is Old Testament stuff,
right?
Right.
Yeah.
It's still true today. It's still true today. And it's still, God hasn't changed.
Right.
What he promised here, it's for now.
Absolutely.
And a lot of people don't get that. They say, oh, well, you know, that's Old Testament. Uh-uh.
No.
God doesn't change. He's the same
absolutely.
God yesterday, today, and tomorrow.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And I love that. He'll hold on to you for dear life. I'll get you out of any trouble. I'll give you the best of care. Woo.
Yeah.
If you know and trust me.
Right. And one, this is good, too. Call me and I'll answer.
Mm-hmm.
Be at your side in bad times. I mean, he's going to do it right there. But you have to get to know him.
Right.
And learn to trust him.
That's
you can't
it.
Trust somebody if you don't know them.
That's exactly it. That's it. That's it right there.
So once you get to know God.
Right.
Then you can trust him.
Mm-hmm.
And then all these blessings are yours.
Mm. Carol, comment on that, will you, before we go to this song?
Woo. I'll comment on it with Jeremiah 33:3, which is God's phone number.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And he basically says, call me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, he's waiting for our call.
Right.
He says, call me, and I will answer you.
Yes.
And
yes.
I know that I have said that to so many people who call me, and they're in distress, and they'll say, I'm just, you know, whatever their situation. And I say, have you phoned God about that? Have you talked to Jesus on the phone? And they're
right.
like, what? Are
right.
you crazy? I said, no. Phone number is Jeremiah 33:3.
Right.
Let's call me.
Yes, yes.
And I'll answer.
Right.
And I said, let's go to that now. And I'll take my Bible and sit down with them and read that to them. And then I refer them always to the 23rd Psalm,
mm-hmm.
which
yeah.
is a comfort. It's a peace. It's a promise between you and God that he will always lie down with you in your darkest hours,
right.
in your joyful hours. Sometimes I think we forget to be joyous in the blessings of the Lord, and we forget to say hallelujah and thank you. I had a wonderful friend who was an MCC elder, and her favorite thing was when she was overcome by joy or just when she was delivering her sermon, and she would raise her hands to the heaven. She was full-blood Cherokee, and she would raise her hands to the heaven and sing, alleluia, alleluia. And it was with such a poignant voice and
right.
such love in it that you knew that her praises were actually reaching the doors of heaven.
Amen. Yes.
And if we can do that, if we can sing hallelujah in our darkest, darkest times, because he will overcome evil. He has already overcome death.
Yes, absolutely.
He will overcome cancer. I'm living proof of that.
That's right, you
are.
He will
overcome fear. Alice is living proof of that. Mark is living proof.
Right.
Mark is living proof.
Right. We
you
are.
Know, he will overcome anything.
Right.
Keeps us away from a right relationship with him. He simply says, call me. I'm ready. You want a visitor today? Invite me in.
You know, exactly right, Carol. And there's so many times that we can be going along really strong, you know, and things are going good. And then we get sideswiped, it seems like, by some atrocity that happens in our life or some awful thing that is threatening to overcome us or whatever, or just the fear of moving forward in an area in our lives. And we're almost stymied. We're almost stuck. You know, for a moment. You know what I'm saying, Alice? We can get kind of stuck in a rut for a moment.
We can, and we can't beat ourselves up over it,
right?
Because we have to. It's hard sometimes. It's hard to step out there and trust God. It's hard because, like I've said before, you know, we have past hurts, past histories with people.
Yes.
So it's hard to trust him.
I've learned in life that my best friend is Jesus Christ.
Right.
He's never away from me. I have spoken so many times to people who say, but I can't pray out loud because I don't know what to say to him. And I said, you're talking to a friend. Just speak to him.
Yes.
And they said, but where is he? I said, he's right beside you.
Yep.
If you turn very sharply, you're going to bump into him. You'll need to say, excuse me, I didn't mean to do that. And
right.
I said, but you call on him and you say out loud to him what you want to hear. Sometimes your prayer starts with nothing more than a thanksgiving.
Right.
Thank you, Jesus, that I had money enough to put gas in the car to get here this Sunday.
Sure.
And I thank you, Jesus, that I can get home and back
Absolutely.
To my work on Monday.
Sometimes it's that basic. I understand that. Call me, he says, and I'll answer. Be at your side in bad times. I'll rescue you. Then throw you a party. I'll give you a long life and give you a long drink of salvation. Throw you a party. Alice, comment on that. That's the Message Bible translation.
I don't know.
Isn't that funny the way it translates?
Yeah.
I'll deliver you and honor you. With long life, I'll satisfy you and show you my salvation.
Yeah.
This is the literal.
I think it's the satisfaction. The satisfaction is the party.
Right.
That to be satisfied is to be at peace.
Yes.
Just peace is the word that comes,
right.
You know, and so many times we strive after peace.
Right.
We strive and strive and strive. I just want to, you know, and it's not that. It's, you know, you let God give that to you. It's a gift.
It's a gift.
You know, you can't earn peace.
Yes.
You know, it's a gift.
He's the Prince of Peace and he gives it to you.
Right.
Oh, we're going to go to a song that is absolutely one of my favorites, but again, by Selah. Selah, just, we used three of their songs today, but I love this song on this Mother's Day because so often we need to be reminded of this Mother Nature of God, the El Shaddai nature, the all-sufficient one, the God who is more than enough, that meets our needs no matter what it is we're going through, emotional, physical, financial, you know, stress in relationships, whatever it is, you raise me up. Hallelujah. I love this song.
I am down, and oh, my soul so weary. When troubles come, and my heart burden be, then I am still, and wait here in silence until you come and sit a while with me. You raise me up so I can stand on mountains. You raise me up to walk on stormy seas. I am strong when I am on your shoulders. You raise me up to more than I can be.
brings me up to more than I can be. Restless heart beats so imperfectly, but when you come, I am filled with wonder. Sometimes I think I glimpse eternity.
Praise God.
Wow.
Oh, God, you do.
That's so good.
Isn't that a great song?
You know, one of the lines in the song, I've been writing down song lines today.
Go right ahead.
You raised me up to walk on stormy seas.
Yes.
Think about that.
Yes.
That means all the storms, the stormy seas are going on, and you're above that.
Absolutely.
You're walking above it. It's not walking on it. Walking above it. So it's not even touching you.
Yeah.
So you can have all of this stuff happening.
Yes.
In your daily life, work stuff, home stuff, you know, whatever it is, relationship
right.
stuff.
Right.
All this stuff can be happening and be turmoil and chaos in your life, but God can lift you up above it.
Oh, and he does.
So it doesn't touch you.
So it doesn't touch you. And you're just saying, okay, I'm praising you, God, in spite of what's going on.
Right.
In fact, I'm thanking you and praising you for what is going on.
Right.
You know, because God, I'm learning about you and I'm learning about your mercy and your grace and I'm learning to trust you and I'm raised up above it. Right. Yeah.
Isn't that awesome?
Ooh, it is. Oh, that's good stuff. Carol, give us some final thoughts here. Wow. Isn't that a great song, Carol?
I think it's a wonderful song.
Hmm.
And I think living in the spirit of Christ being inside you and trying to walk and live as Jesus did on this earth, and
right.
learning to be kind and welcome to all his people, we are more and more putting ourselves into his grace and being able to understand his nature even more.
Right.
You know, reading in James 4, verse 14, yet you do not know what your life will be like tomorrow. You are just a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes away.
Sure.
Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and also do this and that. Do the right things in 17. To one who knows the right thing to do and do it and to not be sinful in nature and to not be hurtful to his people. And to always try to remember that the person standing in front of you, you don't know the backstory of their life.
Right. Sure.
You don't know the fears that they're facing just standing in front of you.
Right, exactly.
You don't know the heart that's been broken and the body that's been beaten.
Right, exactly.
And you don't know the soul that has just been stomped on.
Right.
And we have to extend that hand and say, regardless of what life has been to you, regardless of what you have been in life, I extend the hand that Jesus Christ asked me to do.
Yes.
One of love for you, one of love for your situation, and you always open it up and say, welcome, sister.
Yeah.
Welcome, brother.
Yeah. It's a matter of giving the love of God out and giving people hope, you know, in their situation. It's just amazing. Go ahead, Alice. Do you want to comment on
it? It's about, I don't know. It's about just loving people.
Loving them.
Just
yes.
loving them.
Right.
Right where they're at. Right.
Right
in their circumstances.
Sure.
And just showing them the love of God.
Right.
You know, and if that means extending a hand.
Right.
A hug.
Right.
A pat on the back.
Listening ear.
A listening ear. Whatever
yeah.
it is.
Right.
You know, you can be Jesus for somebody.
Right.
You can represent
show
Jesus.
Yeah. Absolutely. It's what it is. Carol, it's always fun to have you on the air. God bless you. Did you have anything else you wanted to add to that?
Well, I just would like to say that there are times and situations that we don't know and understand in our own lives.
Right.
But as I tell somebody each week, I know the man who owns all the cattle on the hill.
That's right.
Your riches will come.
Right.
Your riches will rise in glory if you continue to praise his holy name,
mm-hmm.
if you live in his life. All of the things that we have done in life will be forgiven if we ask it in his name.
Amen. Right.
We each day rise a new creature. We have a blank slate that day.
Right.
We can fill it the way that we choose to fill it.
Right.
And we need to fill it by listening to him.
Amen.
As Alice has said, spend time privately with him.
Yes.
He loves to hear from you. He loves to read your love letters and hear you sing songs of praise.
Woo.
So, you know, for this ministry and for the two of you sitting there as mothers as well as people who serve in the church in Florida, and for Maxine and I up here and all of the people on the praise team and all of the people who are on the prayer teams, we're doing the right thing. We're bringing
right.
the Word of God to the people who
yes.
have a need to hear it.
Sure.
We are expressing our love through the written word, the songs that are sung, the words that are spoken,
right.
the characteristics of friendship and the characteristics of Jesus showing in our own lives.
Right.
But blessed be the holy name of Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen. God bless you, my friend. You're wonderful. Have a great evening, and thank you for being on the air today. God bless you, Carol.
Thank you, and the same to both of you.
All right. So, Alice, Psalm 91, great, isn't it? Just dwelling in his presence. That's what we've been talking about today.
It is, and you know, I feel that there are people that might be listening that don't have that personal relationship with Jesus.
Yes.
They don't know him. They
right.
don't know how to have that, how to develop that relationship.
Amen.
And I wanted to let them know that it's as simple as saying, God, I need you.
Right.
You know, I've done wrong and I'm sorry
right.
for it.
Right.
Forgive me.
Yes.
Come into my heart.
That's it.
That's
right
it.
There. It's Romans 10, 9 and 10. If we confess with our mouths and believe in our hearts that God raised Jesus from the dead, we shall be saved.
That's right.
And when we confess it with our mouth and say, God, come into my life, come into my heart, live in me,
right.
change me, make me your willing vessel so mm-hmm. I can learn and dwell in your presence so that you can really change my heart, you know?
Right.
That's all it takes. It's just an invitation to God to come in and live on the inside of us, isn't
right.
it?
Right. That is.
Wow.
And I would recommend anybody that maybe doesn't have a church home. You know, if you're in the Tampa Bay area, please come out to Beacon of Hope Ministries. Would love to meet you.
Absolutely.
Love to love on you and share some praise and worship and fellowship time with you. And if you're not in the Tampa Bay area, get into a church
right.
That teaches the word.
Yes.
It's really important to get in a church that teaches the word. That way you can be fed.
Absolutely. We welcome any of you. Sunday mornings at 10,
mm-hmm.
worship service, great music. You're part of that praise band. Is
it's
it
so
wild
much fun. It is
or
so much
what?
Fun. I almost couldn't walk off the platform.
Man, the anointing of God was so strong today, and the music was just so incredible, and the presence of God, him speaking to us,
oh yeah,
was just mighty and wonderful, and it was just a blessing today to be worshiping together. Beacon of Hope Ministries, 3700 Almerton Road in Clearwater. Easy to find right off of Interstate 275.
Right behind the Burger King.
Right behind the Burger King. And that's where we are. So, and on Wednesday nights, we have a great Bible study and prayer meeting time.
We do.
And the praise band practices after all of that is over.
Yeah.
So it's a long night on Wednesdays, but Bible study is really just 7 to 8:30.
Right.
So people can come, bring their Bible notebook and join us.
Right. And we have a lot of people that come straight from work.
Yes.
They'll stop by, you know, one of the restaurants in the area and, you know, they'll bring in their dinner and while we're doing Bible study and we're having dinner and it's just fellowship time. And I love the Bible study because we can, it's not just you teaching, but
right.
we can ask questions.
Exactly. And it's interactive.
It's very interactive and it's awesome. It's a great
it's
way to learn.
It really is. We set up tables and bring your dinner. You're right.
Yeah.
And to come and enjoy. It's always a pleasure to be with you on the air. We are in our sixth year on the air on this radio station. Tantalk 1340. We love this group of people around here, and we love the opportunity of being able to share God's word with you every single week. So we hope that you will contact us. Go to our website, beaconofhopeministries.com. Easy to find. And the website talks a lot about what we do and where we are and what we believe, doesn't it?
Oh, it does. Definitely. It definitely does.
Yeah.
And that's where all the radio shows are. And I believe you have some sermons on there.
There's a few, but we're getting ready to enhance that. Yeah. We're going to try some new things there.
So, I would recommend it, even if it's just, you know, you need something to relax to and listen to the radio programs of the past.
Yeah.
And I found that the message seems to be the same.
Right.
Throughout the different years of the radio show.
It doesn't really.
It's amazing. Yeah.
Because it is just getting the word.
It's getting the word of God
brings healing and restoration to hurting lives. It is the same concept.
It's the same concept, and it's get that relationship with God.
Yes.
Get that relationship with
God. Develop that relationship, and that's what it's all about. And God is looking to find out where your heart is. That's what it's all about, you know? So we're excited about that. The prayer ministry, Alice, we just encourage people to, as you said earlier, to join the prayer ministry.
Yeah.
And if you have a prayer need, please contact us at prayers@beaconofhopeministries.com.
Yeah, please let us know, because, you know, we are willing and waiting and wanting to pray for you.
Absolutely. So there's no distance in prayer.
No,
and it doesn't matter what country you're in when you're listening to this. It doesn't matter where you are in the globe. Send us the prayer request, because we have seen so many people healed of all kinds of deadly diseases. We've seen people healed of all kinds of emotional trauma, set free. And it's just amazing what God's doing with the prayer ministry.
And it's just, you know, people agreeing. People agreeing in prayer.
Yes.
And God moves.
Tell your relatives and friends, you know, if you have a prayer need, to type it into us, and we'll be happy to take that to the throne of grace and pray about it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. It's really cool. If you want to be a financial partner of this ministry, go to our website, beaconofhopeministries.com. You can go to PayPal, and you can donate and be a part financially of this ministry. It's not far to Jesus. It's not far. I love our closing song,
I know,
Alice.
It's awesome.
It's not far to Jesus. And so we at Beacon of Hope Ministries, Carol, Alice, and me, Pastor Marcia, we are so glad you've joined us today. Tune in again next week live right at 4 o'clock as we share again God's words of encouragement and hope for you. Tell somebody about our show. Have them join you. And God bless you. Have a great week. See you next week. It's not far to Jesus.
There's no need for you to fear. You can trust Him with your heart. It's not far. It's not far. It's not far. It's not far. From near to Jesus. It's not far.
TAN Clearwater, Tampa Bay, WDCF, Dade City, Tampa Bay, KLRG, Sheridan, Little Rock, and FM 94.5, K233BF, Little Rock.